In the last session, I talked about the shield of faith. If you have faith, you can overcome any kind of attack of Satan and the devil. No matter what kinds of difficulties you go through, if you just rely on God with faith, you will find the answers and you will see the way out. And after you overcome with faith like that, your faith will increase. This is our walk of faith. So we don't have to be afraid of tests and trials. We can increase our faith through the tests and trials. And that's how senior pastor and his family have increased faith. It was explained in the Friday online service. But anyway, before the opening of the church, the three daughters of senior pastor, each of us, had some kind of accident. But senior pastor still wasn't shaken by those incidents, but showed only faith. In case of Pastor Mi-young Lee, she had skin trouble all over. Pastor Mi-young Lee, the second, she was hit by a truck. In my case, I had concussion. I fell on Monday, and I couldn't wake up. I didn't wake up until Wednesday. But even despite these accidents, senior pastor only relied on God with faith. When we have a problem, when we had a problem here, first let us look back and repent whatever was wrong in the sight of God. And he didn't rely on any of the worldly methods. We didn't do any of those things. He just relied on God completely. So he just prayed, laying his hand on us. He was a theological college student at the time. But his faith was, he was full of faith. He didn't have any concerns such as, what if something goes wrong with my child? What if it doesn't work? Some Christians, when they hear some testimonies, they use fleshly thoughts and say, what if you didn't get healed by God's power? That means they don't have faith. If you do have faith in God, you will never doubt the work of God. If you rely on God and pray to Him, as you look back on yourself and repent of whatever was wrong in the sight of God, and if you have the assurance that of healing, and you will never doubt that, oh, what if something goes wrong? And God works according to your faith. It'll be done as you have believed. So senior pastor says about faith, God, before faith, God can help it. You know, if you show faith, God has to work according to your faith, exactly according to your faith. Even the best surgeons, they sometimes make a mistake. But God never makes any mistake. Before faith, He just does everything according to our faith. So that's the faith our shepherd had even before the opening of the church. So he just relied on God in everything. He committed every matter into God's hands. When Pastor Mi-young Lee had boils all over her body, senior pastor's prayer, she had scabs all over the body the very next day. And she was completely healed without leaving any scars. And I remember when Pastor Mi-young Lee was hit by a truck, her face was so swollen. It was, she was in a second grader. I was six. And she couldn't open her mouth. So she couldn't speak and she couldn't eat. So Mrs. Lee, she opened the mouth. She couldn't open it because the whole mouth was broken. It was so swollen. So she couldn't eat, she couldn't chew. So Mrs. Lee, she ground the food and threw a straw at the edge of the lips. She put the straw in so she could suck on it. And I was looking at her, but she didn't have any pain. And after that, we played together. So I couldn't even feel that she was involved in a traffic accident. So after Senior Pastor's prayer, she was healed completely. So the whole family members, the whole family had more faith. And also, though I was teenager boy bumped into me when I was six, and I had concussion and I couldn't wake up. And I was taken to the hospital, and the doctor said, I think it is concussion, serious concussion, and that we were to take me to a bigger hospital. But Mrs. Lee, she brought me to the house, and not to a bigger hospital. She said, if doctors can do it, God can do it even more. But the doctor said, even if I was taken to a bigger hospital, if the concussion was very serious, I might have had some kind of a mental disability. So the doctor said, you have to hurry to take me to a bigger hospital. Of course, Mrs. Lee heard it, but she had faith in God. God can do everything. So she took me home, brought me home, and she prayed on me. And at that time, I couldn't open my eyes. And I was saying things, and I was drooling. So I wasn't myself at all. It was Monday. She prayed on me. And Senior Pastor prayed on me when he was going to the theological college. And Monday, after he came back home, there was no improvement. It was the same. And he didn't change his mind the next day. What if something goes wrong with my daughter? He never worried. If he took me to a hospital, something must have gone wrong with me. But the faith of shepherd never changed. So he just believed God would heal me. So even on Tuesday, I didn't wake up. And he never said anything like, oh, what if something goes wrong with my daughter? What if she doesn't get healed? He just believed in God. He woke up on Wednesday before going to the he prayed on me. And when he was about to go to college, I woke up and I asked him, Dad, I'm supposed to go to church today, right? It's not that I didn't have any sense, but God healed me completely, and God let me speak with a sound mind that today is Wednesday and I'm supposed to go to church today, right? He said, you're right. There is no side effect. Even though I was I was unconscious for 3 days. I knew it was Wednesday. So the child, I was completely okay. And I went to Wednesday service. So this is faith. There's no changing of mind in the process. There's no doubt in the process. So whenever you have doubts or changing of mind, it is not faith. So God works according to our faith. And so all three of us, three daughters, all of the three daughters, we were healed completely when we had these incidents. And of course, many relatives, they had concerns, but they came to realize that God was living, actually. So Senior Pastor was a theological college student, and his power increased day by day. And when by the time he opened, even though he didn't open the church yet, even though he was just a theological college student, his power increased and the news spread more and more. And many leaders from other churches, they came to consult him. And many people came to receive prayers for healing. They received the solutions to problems. There was a leader of another church who was going on to a mountain prayer house. And she was moved and came to senior pastor. And after consulting him, she got the solution. So she said, I don't have to go to the mountain prayer at all. I already received the solution. So his power kept on increasing until today, until he opened the church and until today. And also the whole family had more and more faith through those tests and trials. So tests and trials are not just problems for us. If you overcome with faith, it is blessing. But if you don't overcome, if you can't overcome, there might be continuous trials and tests. You might think you did with faith. You acted with faith. But sometimes you don't receive the answer because your faith was only faith as knowledge. So we have to realize what went wrong. And we have to obey God completely so that we can overcome and shield ourselves from the attacks of the devil. So in the last session, I talked about the shield of faith, and I said that we have to have obedience to have the spiritual faith. So if you go on winning with faith, you can become a spiritual warrior. Your faith can't just increase overnight. You can't just have great faith overnight. Your faith increases to the extent that you cast away sins and evil, according to the Word of God. So you might face difficulties, hardships, tests, and trials. And as you overcome again and again, your faith will increase. Suppose you join in an elementary school, and you can't just graduate it within a year. You have to take each step, first grade, second grade, and third grade, and your knowledge has to be accumulated. But if you obey continually, your spiritual growth will accelerate. It'll be faster than others. So if you just obey God continually and cast away sins and evil quickly, then you can quickly become spiritual warriors. Then you will also pray. You will also be able to overcome the attacks of the devil that are not for your personal things, but for the kingdom of God. You will be able to lead so many souls to the way of salvation. Even though it might look like a man of God are sometimes attacked, but these things are allowed by God sometimes. Those who really have faith, they will only obey and giving thanks and praise to God, and they will eventually overcome. So we should not just overwhelmingly overcome our personal hardships. We should also become spiritual warriors. This is the last session of Put on the Full Armor of God, and I will talk about the helmet of salvation. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what is a helmet? It is the protection for your head. Head is the most important part, along with your heart. So because head is so important, God gave us a very strong skull. And in the full armor of God, God is telling us to put on the helmet of salvation. Because salvation is the most important thing. Dear brothers and sisters, the biggest reason why we lead a Christian life is to get salvation and go to heaven. Without salvation, there is no rewards in heaven. Everything comes from salvation, receiving salvation first. Only with salvation you can hope for New Jerusalem. If you don't have the salvation, you wouldn't have to come to church and sit on this hard small pews and listen to this message on this holiday. So, is there salvation? Afterlife? Salvation for afterlife? Of course there is. God is certainly living, and there is afterlife, heaven and hell. and He wants everybody to go to heaven. So, but humankind, they are so foolish that even though God is showing so many signs and wonders and so much evidence that He is living, they don't believe in God, and many of them, to my regret, fall into hell. But God has prepared beautiful heaven. And to lead us there, He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So there is afterlife, and there is salvation. And our Christian life is the process to, is the way to get salvation. So even though you do a lot of things for God's kingdom, without salvation, nothing counts. So Jesus said about this in Luke 10:17. There were 70 disciples who were sent by Jesus, and they returned after performing with the power of God. And they reported that they did show the power of God, and Jesus said that they had to rejoice with salvation. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Luke 10:17 said, in 18 and 19, "And he said to them, 'I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you.'" From these verses, we can understand a bit more about the world of evil spirits. The disciples said, "Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I know. I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." So we can understand that demons receive the power, the strength from the power of the air. So to drive away demons, we have to cut off this supply line of power from the air. And then we can drive away the demons. At this time, those who have faith, those who have the power and authority of God, when they drive away demons in the name of the Lord, the power coming from the air, from Satan, will be cut off and the demons will go away. But even if, no matter how much you drive away demons, if you don't have faith, they will only lie to you and they will only mock you. And Luke 10:20 says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this." It's Jesus' word. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." Jesus gave them all the power and authority to control over the power of the enemy devil. But what they had to rejoice was the fact that their names are recorded in heaven. Because salvation is the most important. And at the same time, even if you show the power of God, if you deviate from salvation, it is of no use. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 to 27 says, "Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I disciple my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Paul preached Jesus Christ. He led so many people to salvation, but he was still afraid that he might be disqualified. So, he always disciplined his body and made it his slave. So, even though you are so faithful to the kingdom of God, even though you dedicated it yourself, if you deviate from salvation, nothing counts. Because you attend church for a longer period of time and you have more positions in the church, you teach the truth, but you don't live by the word of God. Or if you change your mind, then you might be discarded anytime. So we must not have the arrogance that we stand, but we have to be on the alert all the time. This is what Jesus warned the disciples of, against. So also the apostle Paul is telling us, he was also telling himself that he was disciplining his body and making it his slave. He was always checking himself, keeping himself in check. Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So getting salvation once, that's not once and for all. You have to always be on the alert that you are not departing from salvation. You've always heard, you've already heard that getting salvation once is not forever. Even if you accept Jesus Christ, if you continue to sin, your name in the book of life will be blotted out. It is in the Bible. Even if you receive the Holy Spirit once, the Holy Spirit can be quenched. That's what the Bible says. So, even if you have the salvation right now, assurance of salvation right now, you have to be on the alert all the time. You have to always keep yourself in check. You have to always check whether or not you are distancing yourself from the way of salvation. To protect this head, which is the most important part of the body, we wear the helmet. And in the same way, we have to hold on to this salvation until the Lord comes back. On our journey to heaven, some people, they lose faith, they change their mind. Some people just depart from faith completely. So we have to always check ourselves. It is not only for those who have weak faith. Even if you are receiving a lot of blessings from God, even if you think you have great faith, you might become arrogant and you might even teach the Word of God. But if you do not cultivate the Word of God in your heart, if you do not cultivate, you might even, if you have that kind of arrogance, you might even backslide. You might even go back to the world. You might even go back to loving the world. Therefore, you have to always check your salvation with fear and trembling. Also, to put on the helmet of salvation, maybe after putting on the helmet, you shouldn't say, "Oh, this is too heavy, I don't feel comfortable," and take it off. That shouldn't happen. So you have to keep the grace of salvation, the thanksgiving of salvation. We didn't do anything to receive salvation. It is all paid for by Jesus Christ. So we could be saved just by accepting Him. And now we can go to heaven where there's no death, sorrow, or any pain. So we should always be thankful that the salvation was given for free. Also, this is in the same way, this is not only when you have little faith or weak faith. Even after you become a leader, or even after you have many years of receiving salvation, you must not forget the grace of salvation. "Oh, I have great faith, and of course I will receive salvation. I don't even think about it." You might say, but of course we don't fear and tremble all the time, because we live as long as we live by the Word of God. If you are sinning, you might have the fear and trembling. But if you are disciplining your body all the time, you check yourself all the time, then you don't have to fear and tremble all the time about thinking that you might be going away from the boundary of salvation. However, if your faith increases, the joy of salvation has to increase as well. That's the kind of life our shepherd has been leading. When he was a new believer, and when he was a deacon, when he was in theological college, after he opened the church, when church was reviving so much with the manifestations of the power of God, he was all the same. And after his power became so great, and when he went to so many overseas crusades, and even the presidents of countries, they invited him to experience the power of God. And when there were so many works of God, signs and wonders, and when so many diseases were healed by, incurable diseases were healed by God's power. And also when he was controlling the weather conditions, he was all the same. Just because of those things, It doesn't mean he changed his attitude and he received glory himself. No. Yesterday and today and forever, his humbleness and humility only increased. Even though he is performing with so many signs and wonders and power of God, he only gave glory to God, and he always says he cannot do anything if God doesn't guarantee him. God doesn't help him. If God doesn't help him. And also, he sheds the tears with the thanksgiving of salvation for the grace of Jesus Christ all the time, when he was a new believer, when he was a deacon, when he opened the church, and even today. And because he is guaranteed by when he calls on to God, when he calls on God, he always sheds tears to just call his name, the name of God. And just because his power is so great, just because his church is now a mega-sized church, and because so many church members, they give thanks to him for his ministry, does that mean his faithfulness decreased? No, of course not. He always tells us. He always talks about the souls, the church members, the testimonies, and he always watches out for the members who might be losing their faith or grace. So he is always thinking of the ways to help us to be more faithful to God's kingdom. He is always telling us, you can rest and eat and enjoy yourself as much as you want in heaven. So here on this earth, you just keep on working for God's kingdom. When Mrs. Lee turned 70, she wanted to have a time off for a month. And senior pastor said, if you take 1 month off, are you going to have fun? Isn't it too long? Mrs. Lee said, oh, I might want to go on to visit some other countries. And senior pastor said, oh, then church members, they might miss you. They might be a little sad that they can't see you. When the birthday actually came, senior pastor said, God will not be pleased. So Mrs. Lee, she couldn't say anymore. That's the life. That's the kind of life senior pastor has been leading. Manmin have been leading. We've only been living for the glory of God, to share this power of God with as many people as possible. That's the kind of life he has been leading, and that's the kind of life he has been advising his family members to lead. And Mrs. Lee, she's also been faithful to the church all throughout her life. And yet, senior pastor is telling her to be faithful even more, because this life is only for a moment. If you store up more rewards now, it'll be given as much as you have done. Even to the last penny, it'll be paid back in heavenly kingdom. And he advises his wife this way because he loves her so much, not because he doesn't love her. And also he advises the church members the same. Have you ever seen senior pastor changing his mind, changing his attitude, maybe changing the word of God a little bit, maybe receiving the glory himself, taking the glory himself, taking the credit in God's place? Of course not. We have never seen him do such a thing ever. And this is the kind of life we have to lead if we are wearing the helmet of salvation. The longer Christian we have been, the more thanksgiving we have to have for the grace of salvation. I wonder what kind of time you spent during the Chuseok holidays. And I was spending time with my family, and I was thankful even more than before. So we were talking. Now the weather has cooled down, the temperature decreased, and we feel it's refreshing, it's cool. And looking at the sky, blue sky, I was thankful even more than any other year. And I was so thankful that our family can be together. So I was thinking as to why I was filled with thanksgiving. And when I was thinking about the shepherd, all the hardships that he's going through, I was thankful, even for a blade of grass. I was thankful just for a little bit of a breeze. I was thankful hearing the testimonies of the church members. So during the Chuseok holidays, I was only thankful, and I was thankful even more than before. All the hardships that you are going through now, the church is going through now, what kind of time are you spending? God is blessing us. In fact, if you look up with faith, you can do it. If you look up to God, if you trust the shepherd, you can turn everything into conditions of thanksgiving. So let us check whether or not you're putting on the helmet of salvation properly and not take it off at all. So what kind of life do they lead, those who have the grace of salvation? Their faces are bright. They are full of smiles. Their lips are full of praises. And they find joy in hearing the testimonies, good news. And they enjoy listening to the Word of God. So what are you looking at with your eyes? What are you listening to with your ears? What do you hope for with your heart? When you are a new believer, maybe you read the Bible, you are praising God all the time, you listen to many messages to learn the Word of God. When you are a new believer, probably you did that. But now you know the Word of God, you have many positions, so now you think, oh, you don't have to read the Bible as much as before. You don't have to listen to the messages as much. If you do that, you might be hearing the voices of Satan, passing judgment, condemnation, gossip, slandering. This is not to put on the full armor of God. This is because you are not putting on the helmet of salvation. Let us check what we are seeing, what we are hearing, and what we are saying. And just as those who put the helmet of salvation properly, let us be filled with thanksgiving and joy of salvation. Those who are wearing a helmet of salvation, they are faithful to the kingdom of God with all their life. Those who are wearing the helmet of salvation, because of salvation, because of the thanksgiving for salvation, your life is changed. Your life is renewed. Your renewing has stopped. It means you might be taking off the helmet of salvation. So we have to be renewed day after day. We have to be continually renewed. So in that case, we can overcome any kind of troubles brought upon by the enemy devil and Satan. We have the hope that we will be able to see the light after going through this tunnel of tests and trials. We know there is life after death. We know there is heaven and hell. We have the hope that we are going to heaven soon. So we will with joy take the cross that we have to take during this earth, during our life on this earth. But if you stop praying, if you lose the grace of salvation, it means you are taking off the helmet of salvation. Then what happens is Satan speaks to us and they try to tempt us to take the worldly things. They give us the thinking that, oh, Christian life is hard. We want to take a rest. We want to take it easy. So we have to put on the helmet of salvation until the day of the Lord's coming back and just keep on going. Next, I'm going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Verse 17 in today's reading passage, 6:17 says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what is the power of the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit? Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So when we have the sword of the Word of God, we can demolish the schemes of the devil at once. So why is it that the Word of God is the sword? We can understand this from the example of Jesus being tested after the 40-day fast. He was tested three times, and it represents all kinds of tests that might come upon the humankind. After the 40-day fast, the devil tested Jesus, saying, Matthew 4:3 says, And the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command it that these stones become bread. The first test is about greed. Jesus, or gluttony, Jesus was hungry after the 40 days fast, and the tempter said to him, Make these stones become bread, because Jesus had the power to do it, so he could do it. But he couldn't just use the power of God for one's gluttony or appetite. So if Jesus said, Oh, I can do it. I'm the Son of God. I have all the power. I'm more than able to do it. So if he did, then it means he failed the test. Here, Jesus said, in Matthew 4:4, he said, It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he drove it away with the word of God. When there was temptation of the devil, he drove it away with the word of God. Even in the world, even in your lives, the tests and trials, they don't come directly. Those traps, they are not seen. If you think about the con artists, they don't say it is something that they don't make it sound unreasonable. They make it sound so reasonable, so right. And also sometimes they pay you the interest during the first stages. And then you think they are trustworthy. So now you are testing him, and he passes the test by giving you the interest for a couple of months or for several months. And then you invest in him with so much more money. And then they say, oh, they're having a hard time for the moment. And if you invest more, they will give you more interest. And it means you are trapped now. What I'm saying is, it doesn't come with a brand that says it is a test. They are very sneaky. It is not easily discerned. But anyway, Jesus drove it away with the word of God, but there was the second test immediately. The devil took him to the top of the temple and told him to jump off. It was a test about arrogance. Jesus is the Son of God. Even if he falls down from the top of the temple, God would hold him and he wouldn't get hurt. If you are arrogant, you are daring me. It is like a dare. So if you have arrogance or pride, you will fall. But Jesus said, Go Satan, it is written, you shall not... In Matthew 4:7, he said, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And so the devil tested him once again to bow down before him, and he will give you all the glory of the world. And Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, Go Satan, for it is written, You shall not worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So he drove away all three tests only with the word of God. So the devil left him, and the angels ministered to him. So we can understand a couple of things from this passage. When there is a test, the angels leave. They are not helping us for the moment, because we have to overcome with our own faith. But if you just go on with the word of God and with your faith, you will not fall, but you will overcome and you will give glory to God. And also, when there are tests, the tests might come two or three times continually. That fact you have to understand. And if you are not shaken, but if you overcome, the devil will have to leave. It doesn't mean tests will come four times, five times, six times. No. Even after the three times of tests, If you don't fall, if you don't get shaken, the devil will leave. God will not allow that. So if you overcome with faith and with the word of God, one time, two times, and three times, God will say that's enough. And He won't allow the devil to test you any longer. Because you are wearing the helmet of salvation, you have the shield of faith, and you have the sword of the Spirit to stand against the devil. So they know they can't attack you and they can't destroy you. But if you fall after one time or two time test, then they will test you even more, four times, five times, because you fall again and again and again. So they can attack you continually. So they can give you a hard time all the time so that they will try to make you lose faith completely and leave God. So let us have the answers only with the word of God. Let us stand against the schemes of the devil with the word of God. When there were these tests, Jesus used the word of God like a sword and drove it away, drove the schemes, the tests away. Driving away Satan's tests cannot be done by any physical power. You can overcome and subdue the power of Satan only with the word of God. So if you have this sword of spirit, you can make other people repent from their sins, of their sins. And you can also drive away the tests, the temptation of the devil. Now, I talked about the belt of truth. It might sound the same, similar, the helmet of salvation. But if you stand on the rock of faith, it is to have the belt of truth. So if you stand on the belt, rock of faith, you'll be able to discern all the tests, temptations of the devil, so you will not sway to the left or right. But if you have the sword of the word of God, you will not, it is not just that you will not be shaken, but you will also be able to destroy the camps of the enemy devil and Satan. The belt of truth. You stand on the rock of faith and you can overcome any kind of personal test or temptation. But if you have the sword of the word of God, you will be able to, furthermore, you will be able to destroy the camps of the devil on top of protecting yourself, overcoming and destroying your personal temptations. So to having the sword of the word of God is more powerful, more active than just to be standing on the rock of faith. But that doesn't mean you can have the sword of the word of God first before standing on the rock of faith. You first have to stand on the rock of faith, have the belt of truth first, and then you can have the word of God, the sword of the word of God. So what do we have to do to have the sword of the word of God? The word of God has to be cultivated in you so that you can use it freely in any situation. If you keep the word of God, keep this word of God because it is easy, and if you don't keep some other words of God because they are difficult, it doesn't mean you have cultivated yourself with the word of God completely. So you have to pray fervently with the fire of the Holy Spirit so that you can cultivate yourself, your heart with the word of God, so that you can use the sword. So this word is can be dangerous. If you use it in a wrong way, you might even hurt yourself. So you have to have the, you have to know how to use the sword also. So for that, you have to understand the word of God properly, and you have to cultivate your heart with the word of God. Then, when you counsel others, you can give the correct answer through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the word of God that is cultivated in you. From the 66 books of the Bible, you can find the answer, the correct answer from the Bible. Anytime. But suppose you have the knowledge of the Bible and you might apply it with your own thoughts. So you hear about, suppose you are visiting somebody and you heard their stories and what kinds of problems they have, and you hear about it and you just say, oh, have peace. You know, yield to your spouse, each other. So you can't solve the problem of their soul. But if the preacher or the teacher has the Word of God and receives the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and teaches the Word of God, then they will be able to deliver the message that penetrates even to the division of spirit, soul, and joints and marrow. So through the Word of God, you can drive away the works of the devil from others. And if you are at this level, of course, you'll be able to drive away all temptations that come your way, personally. And if you have the sword of the Word, then you'll be able to help other souls. You can expand the kingdom of God this way. You'll drive away the doubts, judging, and condemnation from other people through prayers and through counseling. So if you have the Word of God in you completely, and if you can make use of it, then it means you have such a powerful weapon to fight against the devil. Of course, the devil attacks us in so many ways. Doubts, they bring us doubts. They try to cause maybe some accidents. They might try to give you a hard time through those who hate you. They sometimes try to bring groundless accusations on those who keep the Word of God, who follow the truth. So, you might think maybe just one sword is not enough. But that's not true, because the Word is God. If you arm yourself with the Word of God, and if you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you can make use of it and you can fight. You're more than able to fight the spiritual battle. If you go on with faith, God will become our shield. And if you have the Word of God in you, and if you go on with the Word of God, it'll be God who will fight for us. So the devil will have to kneel, and you can only win the victory. The authority and power of the Word is so great. Let me give you an example. An allegory. When senior pastor goes to other countries for overseas crusades, he doesn't teach the Word of God for a month or two or anything like that. He just speaks for a couple of days. And the message is very short, because there is interpretation. Sometimes it has to be double interpretation. Sometimes it has to be translated into English and then into local language. So there are three messages. So the actual message is only about 20 minutes. And yet, the power of this Word is so great that hundreds and thousands of people, and even millions of people, their thoughts are shattered away, their doubts are driven away. Many of them, they don't even believe in God. They are not even believers. They are believers of other religions too. He went to a predominantly Islamic country or Hindu country, and many of them are not Christians. They are Hindus or Muslims, and they just came there with maybe curiosity or by urging of their friends. But still, listening to that short message, the power line, the supply line of Satan is cut off, their doubts are gone, and the faith is given to them at each moment. And also God prepared a very powerful weapon. It is the manifestation of the power of God, which is what the devil is most afraid of. Because with the power of God in a very short time, we can prove that God is the true God. The power of the shepherd is the guarantee, a testing of God. The power of the shepherd proves that God is living, and it proves that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And not just in those actual places where the crusades are taking place, but even those who are watching the crusades on TV all over the world, the live broadcast, even non-believers, when they listen to the message, the doubts that are brought upon by Satan, it is cut off. When you drive away demons, you first have to cut off the supply line of the devil, the power line of the devil. And it can be done by a powerful, spiritually powerful person. And when the shepherd preaches the message, the fire of the Holy Spirit comes into the heart of the listeners and faith is given to them. So they open their heart. And that's not it. And with the power of God, it is sealed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, so many powerful works of God take place. They throw away their wheelchairs, crutches. The lame men stand up and walk. The deaf people, they came to hear. So, seeing those things, they come to have spiritual faith. They come to realize that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. They kneel before the name of Jesus Christ. So many people convert to Christianity and they accept the Lord. So we have this such powerful spiritual weapon, the Word of God and the power of God. So the devil will tremble before them. So that is why the enemy devil, they hate the power of God so much and they are afraid of the shepherd. However, despite so many disturbing works of the devil and Satan, God's glory will still be revealed. It has been being revealed and it is being revealed now. So this weapon can't be compared with any nuclear warheads. This is the ultimate weapon of God that is prepared for this end time, for the whole world at the end time when the world will be so filled with sins and evil. So we are preparing for this moment. And it's not an exaggeration. You've seen everything in the history of our church. In total, 3 million people gathered in India. It is a predominantly Hindu country. And also the crusade, the devil tried to stop this crusade through the authorities, local authorities, state authorities. And yet God showed so much power there. So even the worldly authorities, they couldn't stop it, even by the law. And so many people, they witnessed that Jesus is the Christ. And there were a lot of converts. And this kind of work is still going on. This is the ultimate weapon. And you've seen this throughout the history of Manmin for the last 36 years. And this is a process to show this power of God so much more greatly at the end of time. So it's a blessing. And you are preparing and praying for this day that will come. And it's such a great blessing. So our shepherd has this weapon. And he's showing the living God to the whole world. And the power in the Word of God is so great. And of course you'd want to have it so that you can give glory to God and be used to expand the kingdom of God. I hope you will all be these spiritual warriors. Even though you listen to the same message, some people, they make use of it as the sword of the Word of God, while others, they can't even make it as their sword. Or others, they have the sword, but they don't they're not able to use it. It's the same in physical sense. When they were having these wars in medieval times, they had to fight with swords. So they have to practice sword fighting. So they train to learn to defend themselves and to attack. And also when they had to train themselves using these swords, riding a horse on foot. So these warriors, they could kill so many soldiers. Even so many soldiers, they couldn't stand against one good, strong warrior, generals. Senior pastor said, those who are well-trained and those who are not trained at all and who cannot use the sword. So I prepared some video. Today we don't fight, they don't fight with swords, but to illustrate to you that you have to be trained well to be able to use your sword very well, to see the comparison. I prepared a video. There's an ordinary person who is using a long sword to cut an apple. You're opening you have your eyes when the sword is so sharp. And if you're not trained, you can't really do it well. So the apple remains. But those who are well trained, they close their eyes and still. You might think it is easy. They cut even beans. So even with the same sword, without practice, without training, you can't use them. Maybe they can cut this apple that is stationary, but after throwing an apple into the air, they can't do it. And it's the same in spirit. The sword of the word has such great power. It can drive away the devil and Satan that are giving the souls a hard time. And then you can give them a way out, show them the solution. You can help them have spiritual faith. That is the sword of the word. However, even if you are able to teach, if you haven't actually cultivated it, knowledge doesn't count. When knowledge is useless. Even if you have this word, it means you're not trained. Even if you have the knowledge, even if you memorize it all the time, even if you are able to teach it, if you don't cultivate it in your heart, if you don't practice it, if you don't circumcise your heart with it, if you just have it as knowledge, it means you are just having the sword and not being able to use it. So nothing can be accomplished. So put on the full armor of God, you have to have the sword of the word, and this sword of the spirit can be given when you actually cultivate your heart with the word of God. You have to obey the word of God and actually put it in your heart so that spiritual authority will follow. Especially pastors and leaders, they are in absolute need of the sword of the word. So I hope you will have the full armor of God and be used for God's kingdom. Verse 18 says, Ephesians 6:18 is the conclusion. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. The final stage of putting on the full armor of God is prayer. It gives you the strength to put on the full armor of God. And also, even if you are putting on the full armor of God, if you are asleep, it's useless. So by prayer, you can be awakened. You can be awake all the time. Matthew 26:41 says, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation." And 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Therefore, let us pray in spirit all the time and be full of the spirit." We have to have the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, boots of gospel of peace, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the word of God. Then the kingdom of God will be extended more greatly even today. Senior pastor mentioned about prayer once again. During the Daniel prayer, there shouldn't be any meetings. If you have a meeting during the Daniel prayer meeting hours, it means you are disturbing with the Daniel prayer meeting and you are disobeying the church. Our church, we have the policy that we have to gather together in Daniel prayer meeting. We have been accomplishing the word of God, the work of God by praying together in the Daniel prayer meeting. Next week, we'll have the two-term continuous special Daniel prayer meeting once again. So let us participate in the Daniel prayer and so that you'll become spiritual warriors, strong spiritual warriors. The world is becoming more and more evil day by day, and God wants us to overcome and win the victory in the spiritual battle. For that reason, He gave us this passage about the full armor of God. When Senior Pastor was concluding this message, he said, "The world will become even more evil, and the work of the devil will just keep on increasing." He preached the message about 20 years ago, and we see that the world has become so much more evil, and there are so many kinds of schemes of the devil that try to disturb and destroy the kingdom of God, that try to destroy the man of God. But if you have the full armor of God, all these things will not matter. You'll be able to stand against the devil and overcome and become the light to the world. But rather, as said in Isaiah 60, verse 3, nations will come to our light and kings to the brightness of our rising. Dear brothers and sisters of Manmin, who have put on the full armor of God, wherever you go, the camps of the devil will be broken. And there should be so many powerful works of God so that in this darkness-filled world, the living God will be revealed and so many souls will be saved through our ministry. Our church will do even greater things than what we have been doing so far. For that reason, our shepherd has been preparing this spiritual weapon, the fivefold gospel of holiness, and the amazing power of God, even the completion of the power of recreation. He is going through the process to complete this power of recreation. So through TV, broadcasting, books, and publications, and other things, we'll spread the holiness gospel, the power of God, so that even the churches that are in spiritual slumber, they will be awakened. And they will also put on the full armor of God. And also, we'll preach to so many people who don't believe in the Lord and lead them to salvation. And to accomplish that ministry, to do that, senior pastor alone can't do it all by himself. We have to help him. We have to be spiritual warriors who can stand against the schemes of the devil. We will also need the knowledge of the world too. We will have to be spiritual warriors. We have to have both physical power and spiritual power. And we will fulfill this ministry at the end of time. And we can do it. Mammon has been overcoming the schemes of the devils until now, and we will reveal the glory of God. And I hope you will think about these things during this week, and we will be able to offer up to God a pleasing aroma of heart. And we will quickly fulfill the ministry given to our church. And I hope all the members will fulfill the duties given to us and become the pillars in the city of New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.